ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to the Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
Very interesting how we're uniting now with the same language. Also, their ability to rebel against God. Come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. Let us. What did God tell them to do? To spread out, not come together. They're in a defiance to God. Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens, or to worship the heavens, the spiritual world. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the earth. Look at the rebellion we see today of man. Living as there's no God, and yet we see the hand of God moving in a powerful way in the days we're living in. Like the Tower of Babel, judgment's going to come. Let me show you what I mean. Hopefully this isn't real loud. The music is kind of creepy, but the whole show is kind of creepy. It's only a couple minutes. But I want you to see, this was at the 2022 Commonwealth Games. And watch how there's this Tower of Babel, and there's this bull that they are worshiping, Baal worship. It's creepy, okay? All-seeing eye, right? Oh, it's creepy. But we're not done. Okay. Who thought of that, right? Notice who's riding the top of that? A woman, right? A woman rides the beast. And what are they bowing down to? This bull, right? Baal. What is wrong with these people? It's very creepy. I think these are angels, demonic beings. It's not a very nice looking bull to begin with, right? But we saw what happened with the Summer Olympics and how they slammed Christianity by mocking the Last Supper. Here again, where do they get this stuff from? It's demonic. They're gone, and watch, they're worshiping this woman who rides the beast. You would never think you would see this. This is at a sporting event. Very creepy. Very creepy. Now, the world wants to unite into this one world religion and a one world government, as we're going to see. But here's the thing. This freaked me out, guys. Tips on converting to Catholic from a former Protestant pastor. I don't get it. Do you? He probably never was saved in the first place, or he just doesn't understand the scriptures and what the Roman Catholic Church teaches. It's a work-based salvation, plus many other false teachings. Again, okay, don't get mad at me, but send your emails to Steve Krause. He's not out here, so I could do that. Here's one. Tell me, how does this happen, right? J.D. Vance, or coming for... J.D. Vance, right? Now, I'm not saying he's a bad person. I'm saying, how do you convert from being a Protestant to a Catholic? Past president of the Evangelical Theological Society, Francis Beckwith, reverted to Catholicism in 2007. Anglican Bishop Nazir Ali went to Catholicism. Historian Joshua Charles Richard Newhouse, founder of First Things Journal. Hank Hanegraaff, which I don't recommend him anyway because he's way off there, but he was did the radio show Bible Answer Man. He converts to Catholicism. And this is one that I didn't understand either, okay? This is sad to me. Candace Owen announced her conversion to Catholicism on social media in 2024. How is this happening? Why is this happening, right? How can this happen? See if you guys remember this. This is from a few years back. But remember, the Come Home movement, calling Protestants to come back home. Home where? The Catholic Church. And it's working. It's working. And for me, I plead with you guys to be men and women of the Word. And when things are taught or what you see on television goes against the Scripture, don't accept it. Combat it with the truth and flee from the false teaching. You know, yeah, this one world religion will usher in the one world government. That's what we're going to talk about next. But these leaders are getting together all the time and working out, how do we unite? Because look at these problems in the Middle East. This is religion. No, it's demonic in nature. It is spiritual, but one world government is coming up next. And the idea of global government has been going on for years. Believe me, it's not something new, and the Bible has spoken about it long before man came up with the idea. But let me say this, and before you freak out, hear me out. There is a one world government that's coming that's going to be perfect. You know why? Because it'll be ruled by Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace and Righteousness will fill the land. That's the only government that's going to work. These others are ruled by man and they just fail miserably. And this coming global government is going to be ruled by the Antichrist. And believe me, he's demonic in nature, brings death and destruction. And yeah, the world's going to be looking for peace, but they're not going to find it in this guy. And again, this is not a new idea. I've showed this picture before, but to me, it just drives home the point. This is way back on September 17th, 1973, where the Club of Rome divided the world into 10 kingdoms. This is fascinating to me. Whoop, that looks better. Look at that. Canada, the United States, and Mexico is one kingdom. That's what we're working on. When you look at the global trades, the free trade agreements, NAFTA, that all is a part of this. Henry Kissinger, way back on July 18th, 1993, he's a member of the CFR, Trilateralist, and he said this in the Los Angeles Times concerning NAFTA. He said, what Congress will have before it is not a conventional trade agreement, but the architecture of a new international system, a first step towards a what? Oh, a new world order, way back then. They're already working on this. They just got to get the people to go along with them. And that phrase, new world order, is speaking of world government. Where do we get this from? Well, we get it from Daniel chapter 2. Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, has this dream and doesn't know what it means, and Daniel interprets it for the king, this multi-metallic image. And he says, you know, king, the head of gold represents the Babylonian Empire. The chest and arms of silver represent the Medo-Persian Empire. So the succeeding empires, bronze, the belly and thighs is the Grecian Empire. The iron legs was the Roman Empire. And the last world empire is the clay and feet, or the iron and clay for the feet and the toes. This is the revived Roman Empire. That is the kingdoms that we saw, but I believe Europe is the one who's going to oversee all these kingdoms, and it'll be the Antichrist who's the one who's on the throne. You know, David Rockefeller from years back said, we're on the verge of a global transformation. All we need is the right major crisis, and the nations will accept the new world order. Haven't they been trying that for years, right? A major crisis, COVID was a major crisis, right? Trying to unite the world together. And now, you know, what is it? The World Health Organization wants control of all the nations of the world when there is an outbreak of some kind of disease. So they will tell us what we can and can't do. But we're a sovereign nation. Well, isn't it interesting when you ignore what our Constitution says, people just forget about it. And we lose our sovereignty, and we're now under control of the World Health Organization. I don't think Donald Trump's going to let that go through. Our current president, for at least another couple of weeks, Joe Biden, had this to say about the New World Order, how I learned to love the New World Order. James Warburg, back on July 29th, 1921, the CFR was formed on July 29, 1921. He said in February 17, 1950, and this is before the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, we shall have world government whether or not you like it, by conquest or consent. We'll force you into it. Why do you think they want to take the guns away, guys? Wake up, okay? Then it's really easy to take over. And now here we are in the 21st century, and we're seeing these pieces of the puzzle for world government coming together and very quickly. Why are they moving so quickly now? Because I think people are starting to see what's going on and they don't like it, and they're rising up. In Europe, they're not happy there. They're very upset. Canada, with Trudeau, they're not happy with him. In America, well, we weren't happy with what we had. We're looking for someone to come on the scene that is for America, not global government. And that's why I truly believe there's going to be some kind of crisis, like a world war, global catastrophe, economic collapse, disease like COVID that'll come on the scene, or a combination of those, or maybe all of them. Something catastrophic is going to happen where the world is going to be looking for a man to deliver them. We need a strong leader that is going to bring peace to this world. And when you have a man like the Pope, who's over, I don't know how many billion people, plus Islam, which he has sided with him, and Protestants now, you've got a large population of people that he will use to usher in the Antichrist as the world leader. This article from September 2024 says, world leaders today adopted a pact for the future that includes a global digital compact and a declaration on future generations. The Pact for the Future, the Global Digital Compact, and the Declaration on Future Generations open the door to new opportunities and untapped possibilities, said the Secretary General during his remarks at the opening summit of the future. The President of the General Assembly noted that the pact would lay the foundations for a sustainable, just, and peaceful global order for all people and nations. And it covers a broad range of issues for like peace, security, sustainable development, climate change. Oh yeah, you know, come to Wisconsin, the climate changes all the time. Digital cooperation, human rights, gender, which, you know, that's an open door for everything. Youth and future generations, and the transformation of global governance. The Global Digital Compact annexed to the pact is the first comprehensive global framework for digital cooperation and AI governance. What do you mean, artificial intelligence governing? Well, yeah, don't we see that, the image of the beast in Revelation? Where the false prophet kind of turns on this beast. I think it's a computer. I think it's an artificial intelligence. For those of you that watch Terminator, it's a Terminator in a sense, because it will know who's going to buy or sell, who has the mark, who doesn't have the mark, and those people will be targeted. And again, another article from 2024. Humanity has reached a critical juncture. We face unprecedented challenges. Again, climate change, resource depletion, global inequality, and the impending necessity to expand beyond Earth to ensure our long-term survival. Divided nations, conflicting ideologies, and competition for resources are limiting our potential as a species. To overcome these challenges, humanity must unite under a single governing body, a one world government, focused on shared goals, universal progress, and the grand ambition of colonizing space. The world today is plagued by fragmented governances that hinder coordinated action against existential threats. Issues like climate change require large-scale interventions that individual nations cannot adequately handle alone. A one-world government would enable unified policies to significantly curb greenhouse gas emissions, stabilize global ecosystems, and ensure sustainable resource management. You know, why don't you start with China? Look at what they're doing. Look at all the emissions they have. But no, you know, America, because again, they got to bring us to our knees. Without a centralized authority, nations act in their own self-interest, leading to fragmented policies that are often contradictory and insufficient. A unified government could cut through bureaucracy and enact powerful environmental legislation on a global scale, providing the leadership and consistency necessary to address these urgent issues effectively. One of the most significant challenges preventing humanity from achieving its full potential is eternal conflict. Wars, economic disparity, and competition for resources have historically hindered progress. A one-world government, by eliminating national borders, would effectively put an end to wars fought over territory or ideological differences. By creating a global identity, people would start viewing themselves as part of a united species rather than members of separate nations. So again, that's why there is this push to get rid of our sovereignty. And again, I've told you this before. Why do you think they're against Donald Trump and Netanyahu in Israel? Because they are for their nations. They want their nations to be sovereign. They don't want to be... I mean, could you imagine if Israel was controlled by the United Nations? You saw what they do, what the United Nations does to Israel. They don't come against what happened with... Hamas and what they did to Israel, they come against Netanyahu for what he did to them. Interesting. What's the problem with the idea of a one-world government where everyone is equal and we all get along? Because humans are involved in it. That's the problem, right? I mean, it's not going to work out well. And you think that the Antichrist is going to be the one to bring peace? No. I mean, you thought Hitler was bad. Man, he was a Girl Scout compared to what this guy's going to do. You look at the millions of Christians that are martyred for their faith during the tribulation period. We're not talking 6 million or 8 million or 10 million. Heaven is filled with martyred believers. Crazy. Listen to this article. In a new study recently published and freely available in International Studies Quarterly, we find that overwhelming majorities in 17 countries across the global South, North, East, and West support the creation of a democratic world government to tackle pressing global challenges like climate change. That's a big one, guys. They use climate change a lot because, oh, everyone's afraid we're going to destroy the planet. I read the book. Climate change doesn't destroy the planet, okay? God's in control. However, one country stands out as an exception. You know what country that is? Oh, the United States. Yeah, we're the troublemakers. The support across countries, weighting each other equally, rose from 48% when unspecified to 68% when it was made clear that the proposed world government would be democratic, and 67% when focused on global issues. Moreover, 69% of respondents across countries supported democratic world government focused on transitional issues. So they got the support, and that's why they're working so hard before they lose that support. And I think, you know, a major catastrophic event would push the world, including the United States, into this one world government. We may see the emergence of this global government, but we will not see the Antichrist come on the scene because he doesn't come on the scene until the first seal is opened by Jesus and the wrath of God is being poured out. And yes, he's using the Antichrist as pouring out his wrath on a Christ-rejecting world. But again, look at the things that we're seeing, these divisions, these fights, these wars, these major storms, these earthquakes, all these things. Is there concern? Yeah. Look at Islam. They come to countries few in number and not causing much trouble, but as their numbers increase, there's more and more trouble. And I'm going to show you a video. This video was not done in some Middle East country. This video or this meeting took place in Detroit, Michigan. And I want you to listen what their goal is. That place should have been shut down. Those people should have been arrested for what they are saying, okay? But again, listen to this, and I think it will be very shocking to you.
I caution you of the days to come, because they will not be easy. There are people among us today who might not be with us next year at this conference. And this is the reality. Because the liberation struggle requires sacrifice, and I know everyone here is prepared to make that sacrifice.
In May 2024, over 100 organizations gathered for the People's Conference for Palestine in Detroit, Michigan. More than 3,000 activists were in attendance. Speakers celebrated the October 7th massacre, called for resistance against the West, and mapped out a vision for the destruction of America from within.
The Palestinians who came to the United States understood their role immediately upon arrival.
We, the movement for Palestine in North America and across the world, are here to fight until victory.
This violent movement has been growing for decades. It's made up of groups including Within Our Lifetime, Students for Justice in Palestine, the Palestinian Youth Movement, and many others. After the October 7th attacks, anti-Israel groups in America were emboldened. They saw the massacre as an opportunity to intensify hostility toward Jews and America.
When I think about the USF, it should burn! Death to America!
As the movement worked nonstop to legitimize the Hamas attack, the activists openly flaunted their hatred of Jews and Israel through protests, vandalism, encampments, and violent assaults, both in the streets and on college campuses. Flags of terror organizations became commonplace in public spaces. Activists celebrated the brutality of the October 7th massacre, drawing inspiration from the barbaric acts of terrorism.
It was exhilarating! It was energizing!
Glory to our martyrs, our heroes who made the ultimate sacrifice!
I salute Hamas. A job well done.
On October 7th, Hamas declared war on Israel. On October 8th, their supporters declared war on America.
It is time to bring the war home! It is time to smash this empire!
The goal of the movement is not just to destroy Israel. Their primary target is the U.S.
Empire right here!
Empire go, go!
They call America the enemy, the beast, or simply, empire.
We're in the belly of the beast. We are in the heart of U.S. empire.
We are here in the belly of the insatiable imperial beast.
Here in North America, in the U.S., the belly of the beast, the heart of empire.
We have to bring down this empire with 1 million cuts.
We will be hitting empire where it hurts most. Bring empire to its knees.
Dismantling the heart of empire is not easy, and it won't be rapid, but we know it's possible.
This panel, y'all, is talking about what is next. To strike at the heart of empire.
The Palestinian American pro-terror movement uses the word resistance as a euphemism for violence. And that resistance is to be accomplished by any means necessary.
You will resist
by any
All needs necessary.
The resistance in all its forms.
Resistance, including armed resistance.
Normalized armed struggle.
They're not terrorists, they're freedom fighters.
Our noble, steadfast resistance.
Conference speakers outlined their strategy for bringing the war home.
I believe our fundamental role is to generate political and social crisis within the American ruling class. Mass mobilizations is the primary tactic. Street shutdowns, bridge and train shutdowns, airport caravans and shutdowns, encampments, building takeovers, targeting of weapons manufacturers, shutting down events.
We will be here in the streets, on our campuses, in our classrooms, in our workplaces every day.
We have made the situation untenable for the empire's ruling classes and the political establishment.
They have created a disruptive movement.
Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word? Come and join together in the presence of God.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.